Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
What did the Bible says? In the last days, good will be bad and bad will be good. And so we are starting to see examples across the world that is like this, right? So, Lord, you're coming soon. Now, we know it hasn't been pretty, but here we read that when the second seal is open and this rider on a red horse goes out, it will be horrific, not just in the big cities, but in neighborhoods across the world.
Rain down on me. I need you today. I can't live without you. Fill me again, I pray.
Riots, chaos, and general social unrest are not new, but they seem to have been amplified and proliferated throughout the world over the last decade. This all lines up perfectly with the prophecy found in Revelation. We like to think as humans that with our technological advances, we inch closer towards a social utopia, but instead, we're seeing the opposite. As Pastor Ben will explain in today's message, everything we're experiencing is a clear precursor to the second coming of Christ. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, as he continues his message, "The Scroll is Opened."
The victor's crown are for his people, but this is not the same crown, right? So this implies that this person doesn't have the authority in and of himself. He is being delegated that. So instead, it's God giving him the authority. It's not in and of himself. So this delegated authority, right, with the second angel, is the same, fits with the second angel. And the second angel said, it was granted to take peace from the earth. We just read that. So this is something that's being given, right? And a great sword was given to him. And also the fourth angel of verse 8, we're not there, but authority was given to them. So church, this, one more, also fits chapter 13, where God allows the beast, God allows him, grants him, the power to make war with the saints and to overcome. You would think, oh, what? The Lord does this? Yes. The Lord also allowed Babylon to correct Judah, and he allowed Assyria to take care of Israel to the north, of the north. So God does allow these things to happen. So again, this is the same Greek word used in verse 2 for the rider conquering, the Greek word nikaio. Number 3, what's the third reason or observation? The third reason is this rider, that it's Antichrist, is that this rider carries a bow, verse 2, while Christ carries a sword. When Jesus comes back to the earth, chapter 19, verse 15, he is carrying a sword, not a bow, right? And then the fourth one is this. All of the context of chapter 6, when you look at everything in context in a whole, deals with other riders who are clearly not Christ, or even godly angels. These are horrible things that have been created for bringing God's wrath on the earth. Now, let's put that aside and take a picture of history. Take a quick look down history lane. In history, if you may, be it the Greeks, Babylonians, being all the guys of the past, big armies, even the Romans, right? A white horse in ancient times was used by the conquering king, always. It was just a tradition of man. Now, Bible teacher and author and commentator, Dr. John F. Woolvert, he's also a guy that signed my Bible. When you look at who's put this Bible together, Dr. Woolvert is one, right? He writes in this, quote, "In biblical times, it was customary for a conqueror to ride in triumph on a white horse." So just because, end quote, just because this guy's on a white horse, it doesn't mean it's Jesus. Doesn't tie him into Jesus, right? So for these reasons, we here at Calvary Chapel, Montrose, we hold to the third option. The rider on the horse here in verse 2 is the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist, okay? Or some other evil leader, but it's certainly not Jesus, right? So we get to the point where now we're going to open the scroll, right? Number 1, we open the scroll, and what did it reveal? The conqueror, and he becomes as a false Christ. Jesus said, in those days, many will come in my name, and they will deceive many, and this is one of them. He is going to come as a false Christ, right? The conqueror, he comes as a false Christ. Now look at your Bible again. Verse 3. When he opened, that was the first seal. It's open. Look up here. Looking at a seal, a scroll. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals. Number 1 has been opened, and here comes his conqueror. Now number 2. When he opened the second seal, verse 3. I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Church, first observation from verse 3 is that John heard the second living creature. And as we learn, these creatures doing the talking had a likeness of men, but they are not human. Again, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 5. But the second observation is that John sees another horse. Here comes the second one. Are they leaving the stalls in heaven? Have they been prepared here on the earth and they're running out? I don't know. But this is what John's seeing in heaven. Now, this one is fiery red, right? And church, fiery red is an emphasis. The fiery part, red, means war. It means war. And we see and we learn from 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 22, Nahum chapter 2, verse 3, Zechariah chapter 6, verse 2, that in the Old Testament, the color red has to do with war. Let me give you just a little bit about the first one, 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 22. So Elijah tells the Israelites, hey guys, you're down in the valley. I want you to dig ditches. And it's been a time of drought, but dig ditches, as many ditches as you can. Right? Get it done. But the enemy's coming. Dig the ditches. Be obedient to God's word. Be obedient to the prophet. So they dug all these ditches, all of them. And in the morning, somehow, some way, God had filled the ditches with water. But when the enemy saw them and the sunrise hitting it at the same time, all they saw was red. And they thought, oh my gosh, everyone has turned on each other. And before you know it, war happened. And it's always red, a picture of war. The other ones I mentioned, Nahum, Zechariah, will give you like accounts, of how red represents blood and represents war at this time. Now, quoting from our Jewish born-again friend, Amir Safarti, who came to Calvary Chapel, Montrose, when he was not as famous as he is today, but he just wrote a new book. And it's entitled Revealing Revelation. He gives us an insight on this rider of the red horse. I'm going to quote a part of his book. He says this, when the rider of the red horse comes, he will not be ushering in World War III. Instead, he will bring division and subterfuge and civil unrest. Well, let's just hold it for a second. Raise your hand if you know what division means. Huh? Most of us, it should be 100% hands raised. You know what division is, right? When the wife says, this is for you and this is for me from your paycheck. That's division, right? No, just kidding. But that's one. Most of you know what civil unrest is, right? Raise your hand if you know what civil unrest is. Okay, most of you know. We've seen the riots. We've seen this and that. We get that, right? But how many of you guys know what subterfuge is? Raise your hand. 6 of you. Exactly. So I just want to define this word. I've told you before, I tell the inmates in jail, you want to proceed forward, this is the time to learn how to read. If you don't understand a word in a little paragraph, don't go forward. Define the word. And when you understand what that word is, and now you understand the paragraph, you will get it by reading from that point forward. It's amazing. So I want to define a subterfuge for you, if I find my place. Okay, here it is. The word subterfuge means deceit, used in order to achieve one's goal. If someone wants to control world population, they'll cut off the food supply from the store to deceive you. You're thinking that there's no food, but all of a sudden the government's giving food over here. They're controlling the population, and that's what the word subterfuge means. So back to Amir's book. Quote, when the rider of the red horse comes, he will not be ushering in World War III. Instead, he will bring in division and subterfuge and civil unrest. The phrase, third part of verse 4, people should kill one another, has a very personal one-on-one meaning to it. Peace will disappear, not just between nation, but between cities and neighborhoods and your block. And here's what we don't realize. One of the bads is when it says people will kill one another. This is a real thing. If everybody here took out a knife and on the count of three, everybody turned around and killed one another, the Montrose Daily Press that doesn't publish on Mondays would all of a sudden have to publish on Monday and would say something like, the people killed one another at Calvary Chapel. And that's how close it is. When it says people are going to kill one another, we're talking about neighbors killing neighbors. We're not going to Seattle, Portland, Memphis, LA, Denver. We're not talking about just big cities only. We're talking about the people. Now, right now, if your neighbor's tree goes over, his branches are going over your fence and kind of making your fence kind of out of balance, you would be saying, oh, these dumb neighbors, why don't they? I'm going to go cut their trees. And your wife says, honey, at least tell them you're going to cut the thing. Oh, I'm going to go cut it, right? And we go cut it. If some of us get mad at that. If our neighbor's trash can going out on Tuesday, Monday, Thursday, whenever, is too much on our property, we look at it and say, why doesn't he put his trash can on his property? Why does he have to be on my property? That trash can driver is going to go up and down the street, right? If they leave their sprinklers on too long, some of us say, that neighbor doesn't care at all about water, right? I should go over there and turn off his water and show him something. That's us today. There's still restraint because almost 99.9 of us, we wouldn't do anything. We just, oh, well, that's a neighbor, right? When this day comes, people will kill people. That's a reality. That's a reality. You and I are not going to be here. We are not, you and I are not going to be here at that time. The Spirit of God is not going to be with all these people right now. It's coming. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, it's going to start raising up those people again. But believers in Christ, those who have been born again and God's Spirit reigns on them, they're out of here. So this, what's left in this world is a bad enchilada. It's just bad out there. And so people will kill each other one-on-one. What did the Bible says? In the last days, good will be bad and bad will be good. And so we are starting to see examples across the world that is like this, right? So, Lord, you're coming as soon. Now, we know it hasn't been pretty, but here we read that when the second seal is open and this rider on a red horse goes out, it will be horrific, not just in the big cities, but in neighborhoods across the world, these neighborhoods that we live in. Again, the seventh seal scroll is open. Number one, first seal revealed the conqueror, and he comes as a false Christ. And number two, right, reveals war on earth. That is a war on earth that's going to be taking place. We read about the Wild Wild West, and whoever had the fastest gun ruled, and it was true for the longest time. That's what we're heading towards. Not we, you and I are gone, but that's what this earth is heading towards. Thus, church, the second seal, again, opens, reveals war on earth. Verse 5, look at your Bible. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, John speaking, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. And I changed my voice that way because what did we read? A voice in the midst of the four living creatures. So you have one, two, three, four. But a voice came out of there and he's yelling out. He's giving these orders out, right? Now, church, let me ask you this. Is it just Judy and I, or are you noticing shortages in the market shelves, right? In the marketplace shelves. There's this shortages all the time. Now, most of us have seen shortages. And in fact, we're impressed. And I'm one that I'm sitting on my couch, you know, having an Arnold Palmer or something like that for lunch with a sandwich. And I'm looking at the news and I'm seeing something happen in Florida. A hurricane has hit. People are running to the stores and they're emptying the stores. And so they'll show Home Depot and empty of wood. And they're showing these stores empty of food. And you and I get that. We understand that. Or we see at another time a storm has hit, taken down the telephone poles, and there's no way or reason these people are going to have any electrical from the city. So if you don't have your generators at that time, you're out on your own. So we see people buying up generators and this and that. We get that picture. We understand that. But well, here's something else, something that woke us up. When COVID hit, how many of you guys remember when COVID hit? It was really, 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 really bad, right? There were shortages of toilet paper. We don't know why yet. I'm sure they're not going to tell you the connection, but then there's probably not one, right? But we did notice that the beef and chicken ramen were missing from the stores, and soups and those kind of things were gone. All kinds of food started disappearing from the grocery store shelves. We didn't really, again, understand the whole toilet paper deal, what it had to do with anything, but we saw and we witnessed people starting to hoard things. And some of us are guilty. We're like sheep following sheep. Some of us started hoarding stuff as well. I saw you guys. So did I. I called my friend, I won't mention his name, at Walmart. And I said, next time you stock with ramen, dude, give me a call. I want to be there. And I did get a call. I'm not supposed to say anything, but we're going to stock up with ramen here. Take it out of the back in about the next hour. Bye. Click. And when I picked up the phone, it said, this phone will self-destruct if you don't accept this mission. You guys don't know. That was old-time stuff for us that watch that stuff. But anyway, I was at the store, and I took a case of beef, and I took a case of chicken. Ramen, and ran to those before they knew what was going on and got my, I hoarded. It was bad. God forgive me. But anyway, right, we saw what people do. Sheep follow sheep. I don't know if you remember this, but Target and Walmart started having lines that you snaked around their store to buy your stuff. And then I was up in Spokane, and Megan and Jared asked me to go get diapers for the baby. So Judy and I said, absolutely, we'll go. And we thought it would be a 15-minute trip, turned out to be 2 hours, because when we got to Target, you had to be outside, and this guy had a counter. And everyone said, okay, six people, and six people will walk in. And when it got to us, he says, six people. So Judy and I, he goes, where's your mask? I thought they were going to shoot me. I said, oh, I forgot, I'm in Spokane. You know, here I am, you know. And we walked in, and we had to snake around again. Stuff going on, right, like that. And then we had to stand 6 feet apart. But here we go. Most of you have heard the old adage, you ain't seen nothing yet, right? Well, church, you ain't seen nothing yet. For when the third horseman comes riding on a black horse, right, and holding a pair of scales in his hand, he will bring with him hunger and famine that surely here in America, the West, we have not experienced. And yes, it will far surpass what our great-grandparents told us, if you got to meet your great-grandparents or grandparents, about the Depression in the late 20s and whatnot. My grandma would tell me in L.A., that she had to line up. She would send my mom as a little girl with a bucket, and they would go get milk and bring it home, you know, just so that they would have milk. So the Depression was a real thing, but Depression is nothing. This Depression that we experience in America is nothing with what God has lined up for what's going to happen on the earth as his wrath is being poured out on men, on mankind, right? So here it comes. And so it's going to be a bad thing. Church, that's not it at all. When the rider on the black horse comes, there will be no boats in the harbor at all. No trucks. And if they were to get food, it's all gone. So there's not going to be a source of food distribution at all, right? No food at all. It's going to result in the worst food shortage ever experienced or known to man. And as a result of that, currencies are going to collapse and inflation will skyrocket. Again, verse 6, a quart of wheat for a denarius. And 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. Now, you don't get that. You don't deal that way. We're from the West. We don't deal this way. But let me tell you, it has been said that a quart of wheat, as we're reading here, is enough for one person, mind you, to sustain life, right? And a denarius is one day's wage. So what do you do if you're a family of two? You could only buy enough for one. What if you're a family of 3, 4, or 5? You only can make one day's wage is a denarius, always in the Bible, right? And you could only buy enough to feed one mouth. It's going to be horrific. Newsflash, you're also going to have a job to make that denarius, to earn that money. to buy wheat or barley, who's going to have a job in that time? It's going to be chaotic, right? I don't think it's going to be like them. And lastly here, it seems that the oil and the wine will not be touched by the rider. What does that tell you? Who cares? The common Joe will not have enough money to left over to buy the stuff. Some people will. The ritzies, there's always those that have it. But the regular Joe, they're not going to be able to buy this kind of stuff anyway. When the third seal is open and this rider on a black horse begins his gallop, right? The supply lines for food will quickly stop. Desperation is going to lead to anger for most folks. I don't know if you've been to a restaurant and you want to order your favorite meal and they say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have that anymore. Or I'm sorry, we ran out of meat. You ran out of meat. We ran out of eggs. You ran out of eggs at a restaurant? Stop getting your Bibles and keys ready. I'm just sharing here. Some of you guys want to run out and have breakfast already before they run out. But here it is, right? For most folks, they're going to be angry. A small part of the world population will barely be making it. But for the most part, starvation is going to be an end for many other people. Yes, there will be protests all around the world. And we all know that protest really makes a difference, right? Nope, it doesn't. But protests will lead to looting, and looting is going to lead to violent acts. Anarchy will prevail, and the government left, will be at a loss. They are not going to be able to handle it, and that's why anarchy is going to be everywhere. So the seventh seal scrolled open. Number one. Seal number one, what did it reveal? The conqueror, and he comes at a false Christ, as a false Christ. Secondly, the second seal reveals war on earth. And the third seal reveals scarcity, famine on the earth. That's a bad place to be. That's a bad thing for the world. But cheer up. You're not going to be here if you've accepted Jesus Christ. This is not for you. The Lord shows you what's going to happen again. You have knowledge because of the word of what's going to happen again. Trust the Holy Spirit to bring things to remembrance as you open the book. The power in bringing someone to Christ is in the word of God, not your speech or my speech. It comes from Jesus Christ and his spirit. We read the word of God. Our word comes back void. His word does not. And so now as you start seeing and you're starting to get ideas, God wants to work through your personality to reach people who are the ones that we know are not going to make it. They're not walking with the Lord. They don't have a contrite heart before the Lord. They don't even think about the Lord. The last thing they want is something to do with Jesus. But the Lord brings them to your mind, does he not? The Lord brings them to your mind. Man, I have a good friend. I have a best friend. And they don't know Jesus. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. God wants to use you. While we still have time, I want to encourage you. The Bible says that all of us, check this out, all of us are to do the work of an evangelist. You don't wait till you are an evangelist by others recognizing you as such. God wants you and I to do the work of an evangelist. I pray that the Lord will put someone in your heart, someone in your mind, that you should be speaking to, that you could be the one to reach them, because I can't go out there and reach all your friends. You can't reach the friends of others. God has put people in your life so that you might do the work of an evangelist. I want to encourage you guys.
You've been listening to Come Drink the Water as we dive in together to the book of Revelation. What comes to mind when you think about Revelation? A dragon, a pregnant woman, the Antichrist, or the persecution of the church? Or maybe you think about the rapture of the church and the throne room of God. No doubt this book is filled with some exotic pictures and tricky theology. That's why Pastor Ben Garotti has taken the time to dive into this book and go through it verse by verse with you. Once you break it down, it becomes clear that all of it is a love story written by God to his church. He's given us these stories so that we can encourage each other as we see the day of His return growing close. Come Drink the Water is a ministry out of Calvary Chapel, Montrose. If you're in the Montrose, Colorado area, we'd love to see you someday soon. There's something special about joining into a community of believers. That's where life and encouragement and strength is found. You can find out service times and our location on our website, calvarymontrose.com. Once again, that website is calvarymontrose.com. While you're there, you could also access any messages you might have missed along the way or listen to today's message again. And if you'd like to ask a question, you can always email us at radio@calvarymontrose.com. We'll do our best to answer any questions you may have about today's message. That's radio@calvarymontrose.com. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to next time right here on Come Drink the Water. Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me.